Thank you for checking out the Life Church Utah podcast. We hope it's a blessing to you. If you'd like to give to Life Church, you can do so by texting the word LCGIVE to 43506. And now, a message from one of our pastors.
No, but I got to thinking when I was studying, and we're talking about peace today, which is, how many do you need a little bit of peace in your life? Anybody need some peace in your life? Good, lots of hands up. Great, this is a message for you. Back years ago, when our children were much younger, we did something stupid, and we took road trips with our kids. Have you ever been on road trips before with your children? How many of them behave super well during the entire road trip? Anyone? Oh, your kids did. That's exciting. I need to learn your secret, because my children, so they're perfect angels, never misbehaved or anything until we would get in the car. And then what would happen in the car would be this right here, from the back seat. Stop, tell Jace to stop looking at me. How do you tell somebody to stop looking at you? And then you turn around as a parent while you're driving. You try not to get in a wreck while you're driving. You turn around, Jace, don't look at your sister anymore. Look outside. And you're trying all of these things, and your car is anything but filled with peace. How many of you are teenagers now, and that's what happens in your car when you go on road trips, right? Yeah, all right, yeah, exactly. And so when you become parents one day, you will understand the heartache that we have as parents on road trips. And so here's what we decided to do. We thought we would outsmart our children. And so we would leave at like 11 p.m. at night and drive all night long. That's a big mistake, because what happens is they wake up, you put them in and they're kind of groggy and everything, but it's different. So then they wake up and now they're grumpy and cranky and not listening to you. It's a fantastic vacation. So it's great. So parents, let me give you a hint on road trips. Leave your children home and life will be great. So that's a good thing. That's great. We still have that problem, and they're like grown teenagers now. We still have that problem. Let me tell you this. We need peace in our lives. And let's start by saying this. Through Jesus, we have peace. I mean, that is absolutely the bottom line. If you get nothing else from today, through Jesus, we have peace. And when I start thinking about those who are in desperate need of peace, my mind goes to someone like the single parents who has absolutely no margin in their lives. They're working so hard to provide for their child or for their children, and they get home and they're on the clock, and they go to bed and they're on the clock thinking about that and that pressure and that weight. And for some of you, it's the single grandparent trying to raise your grandchild thinking you were done, and all through circumstances of life, now you desperately need peace. I think of the family walking through grief. There's a family in Iglesia Vida who just last Sunday lost their youngest daughter and their oldest daughter in a really tragic car accident. Many of you might have heard that on the news. Happened in, I think it was Southern Utah, where that happened last Sunday. They're a part of Life Church through Iglesia Vida, and Pastor Marco's been doing a great job pastoring them through this grief. And in the middle of this, I think of that family, and sorry. And that loss, right? And you go, God, I need your peace so desperately in my life. My wife comes to the student in school who's facing yet another challenge in the classroom, and maybe it's not academic. Maybe it's those words that are spoken against them from that other person in the classroom, and they can't get away from it, and they get home, and they're kind of filled with dread because tomorrow is coming, and they know they have to go back to class, and they're facing that. I'm like, God, give peace. Maybe the business leader who through success has more opportunities than they know what to do with. And along with those incredible opportunities comes incredible stress as well. And they're fighting through how to handle this and juggle all the new responsibilities of success. I think of that, the peace that's needed. Think of the poor who through circumstances often not of their own choice, they feel like they're at that dead end and nothing they can do on their own is changing any of their circumstances, and they desperately need peace, especially in a season like Christmas where that sense of loss certainly shows up more. See the family trying to provide for their kids, debt seeming to pile up month after month, and the need for peace, or that constant noise around us. And we're like, God, just give us some peace. So peace can be elusive for us. There are times when we do feel very peaceful. And there are things that we try to do in our lives to create peaceful situations. For my wife, I'm going to share with you my wife's peaceful spot. And if I'm not careful, I can mess this up. My wife's peaceful spot is every night, the last thing she does is take a hot bath. That's what she does. And that is, if I mess that up, my life is forfeit. I mean, it is bad news if I mess that up. But that is her peaceful place. For others, it might be getting out into nature. Yesterday, as Deborah shared, we went up in the mountains. Deborah and Chase, and then Shelly and I went up in the mountains. We're going up to Donut Falls, and just walking through there. There's one part where we stopped. It was kind of weird. I was like, "All right, we're gonna stop." I'm always in like teaching mode. That's just kind of my whole world revolves around that. And I'm like, "All right, just stop." And so we stopped and just listened for a moment to that silence, and you could hear like as the snow's melting a little bit up there, and it's kind of causing the drip going on the trees, and just absolutely beautiful, except for the huffing and puffing from those who are from sea level, right? And as you're trying to, but just that peaceful moment as you're just sensing that peace, and we so desperately need that. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it's locking yourself literally in a closet and just having like silence for a little bit. I'm currently running and training for a marathon, and honestly, long runs are peaceful. And that sounds really bizarre, but they're just peaceful. Just get out there and you're in that zone, in that moment, and praying for you guys and praying for my family, my kids, and just in that zone of peacefulness. The problem is, the run comes to an end, the bath comes to an end, you got to get back to your real life, and all of life just comes crashing back in. We desperately need peace. But the truth remains, through Jesus, we have peace. Through Jesus. And folks, this is the only way for us to have peace. And you might go, "Well, I don't have peace in my life." Let's look at our relationship with Jesus first and foremost. And it's not that there won't be moments in our life when there's struggle and problems and difficulties, but I'm here to tell you today, and hopefully as we walk through this today, you're going to realize that through Jesus, we have peace. Toward the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, we have some hints of a big picture that he wants to provide for his disciples, and then really for us as well. And so he knows that the next night or the next day, he is going to be arrested. He is going to be crucified. And so he's gathering together with his disciples in an upper room, and they are celebrating Passover together. And he knows that his disciples are struggling with what's going to come next. They don't fully understand it and grasp it, but this is what he says here in John chapter 14. He says, "I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." And he says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." How many of us have times where our hearts are troubled and afraid? Right, we struggle with that because we're living this real world life. So when Jesus left, he gave this promise to his disciples that when he leaves, that the Holy Spirit would remain. And that this is the context of peace that he's giving to his disciples, that, you know, "My peace I leave with you. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is going to be here and remaining with you." And so these two go absolutely hand in hand. But without him in his place, the Holy Spirit would reside inside. And this new relationship is based, a new relationship of peace is based on the Spirit of Christ within us. So it says he doesn't give as the world gives. How does the world give to us? I think oftentimes the world gives with that expectation that it will get back more than it gave to us. Right? We feel this internally because the stuff that we give to the world never satisfies us, right? When the world gives back to us, it gives back to us brokenness and hurt and pain oftentimes. And there's some good things that happen in the world, right? But then there's bad things like the Utes not doing well last Friday. Why, Lord, right? I was praying and fasting. No, not really. So in the Bible, the word for peace is the word shalom. And shalom basically means wholeness or flourishing. And so in the Bible, the word for peace, shalom, never means simply the absence of trouble. That's part of it, but not in the totality. Peace means everything which makes for our highest good. Right? Peace means everything which makes for our highest good, and that highest good obviously comes from the Father in heaven. The peace which the world offers us is the peace of escape. The peace which comes from the avoidance of trouble and from refusing to face things. That's the peace that the world gives us. Turn away from the problems and difficulties, they'll just go away. However, the peace which Jesus offers us is the peace, and this seems counterintuitive, but the peace that Jesus offers us is the peace of conquest. And that seems weird for us because conquest seems like such a not peaceful thing. And yet we see this revealed here, as well as I'm going to tell you something at the very end, which hopefully is going to be really challenging for you and something that's going to change your life. But Jesus offers us the peace of conquest. No experience of life can ever take peace from us. No sorrow, no danger, no suffering can ever make it less. Peace from God is independent of external circumstances. And that's what we've got to get through our hearts and into our hearts and minds, is that our peace can remain. And then again, at the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, he's now been crucified. He's now been in the grave for 3 days. He's been resurrected, and now he's meeting with his disciples, and he's very, very soon going to be departing from this earth. And this is what he says to his disciples. And listen what comes up again. John chapter 20. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." As I was reading through that little passage, something struck me that I'd never really kind of seen before and put together in this whole idea. And the first thing that I notice is that peace is activated through purpose. Peace is activated through purpose. What I mean by that is, notice he says, you know, peace be with you. And then immediately he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. We can often think that peace is something that we just kind of sit and wait for. And I think what Jesus is revealing here is that something happens when we follow through on what God has called us to do, when we're obedient to him, just like Jesus was to his Father, that peace becomes part of the equation of our lives. And what was the purpose that Jesus had on earth? That purpose was that his life would mean something. That his life was lived in such a way as to bring salvation to all of us. As the Father sent Jesus, here's how he sent him: in power, in purpose, to the broken and forgotten, among the successful and influential, to the religious and irreligious, to the day laborer, to the white collar. The Father sent Jesus with the message of peace, restoring relationship everywhere that he went. That was Jesus' purpose. And I believe that if we fulfill that purpose, if we follow through on what God has called us to do, which is share the good news of Jesus Christ, I believe that there is peace waiting for us as we do that. That's not all. Peace is not isolated in an action that we accomplish on our own. And just like Jesus, we find that peace is empowered through the Holy Spirit. That peace is empowered through the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that there was no way that his disciples, that the disciples would receive their own peace. There was no way that they had any of their own to gain at that moment. And he had to send his Holy Spirit upon them. It's really great because the Bible says that Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Everybody take a deep breath. Now blow it out on your neighbor. No, don't do that. No, just take it. Right, that deep breath that we have. And I don't know exactly how it happened in that moment. The Bible doesn't say, it just says that Jesus breathed on them. I don't know if he went up to each one of them directly, held their you know, his somebody's head in his hands and breathed on them, or just kind of breathed all over. I have no idea how it happened, but suffice it to say that in that moment, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And when he did that, John was writing this, he knew that the people that were reading this in the Jewish culture, they would catch a couple of things. The first thing they would catch is that this is very, very close to what happened in Genesis, when the Bible says that God took and formed the human out of the dirt and the mud. And it's, the Bible says in Genesis that God breathed on that, and it became filled with life. So they would have known that that's what Jesus was talking about here. And then secondly, there's also another part in the book of Ezekiel. It's a great book to read sometime, the book of Ezekiel. And there's this valley of dry bones, and Ezekiel the prophet is just bemoaning, how can all the promises of God happen when all that I see in front of me is, you know, death and destruction and dry bones? And the Bible says that the breath of the Spirit came on those bones and brought them back to life. And the disciples, when Jesus breathed on them, these are the pictures that they would have seen, is that new creation, life being breathed into them in a new way, bringing to them peace. So it's a great picture in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians, this letter written by Paul. And this is what we see in here. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, starts off with Christ is our peace. Doesn't say that Christ brings peace or things like that. It says Christ is our peace. This is who Jesus is. And if you need peace, you need Jesus, right? Then he goes on. He says he made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. Made both Jews and Gentiles. I don't want to gloss this over. And there's so much more to this. But in the Jewish culture of the time in the New Testament, Jews and Gentiles were as far apart as you could get from one another. There was a wall of enmity. They were like enemies to one another. You were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. That's how the Jewish folks saw the world. Paul, this is exactly how he had seen the world until Jesus made a difference in his life. And listen to what he says. He says he made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, with Jesus' body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. Paul is putting himself in that boat, saying, I hated the Gentiles. I hated anyone that wasn't like me. I hated those people that made me feel uncomfortable. I hated those people who believed differently than I did. I hated those who caused me concern. I hated those who didn't forgive my hate. I hated other people other than what I was comfortable with. I think that speaks to us. Who are those that we don't like simply because they are different than us? And does that wall need to be broken down? Listen to what he continues to write. He says, he canceled the detailed rules of the law so that God could create one new person out of the two groups, making peace. He reconciled them as one body to God by the cross, which ended the hostility to God. So through what Jesus did on the cross, the walls of hostility between us and the other are broken down. Right? I mean, that is truly something amazing that God has said, I want there to be peace and reconciliation. And when you do, it says that this ends hostility to God as well. So ask yourself the question, what walls need to be broken down between myself and another? What walls need to be broken down between myself and my spouse? What walls need to be broken down between myself and those who speak a different language than I do? And it frustrates me. What wall needs to be broken down when others don't do as I think they should do? What walls need to be broken down? Because he wants peace. Between husband and wife, between child and parent, between Christian and the sinner, between the lost and the found, between neighbors, between the church and the culture that rejects the message of Christ, this is the peace that God wants for us. I'm going to invite our worship team up here as we start to close out here. And remember this, through Jesus, we have peace. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, the kingdom of God, his peace is breaking into the world around us. So how does that kingdom break in? We have a purpose, right? Even as the Father sent me, I am sending you. So there is our purpose. And you're going to be filled with the Spirit because Jesus is breathing on us. This is how the kingdom breaks in. God chooses to use us, imperfect though we are, to be able to bring peace to the world around us. This is the kingdom that is now because we experience his peace now in our lives. But how many of you know that that peace is elusive, right, at times? We know that the only time that that peace is going to be full is when Jesus returns, sets up his kingdom as revealed in the word of God. We know that that time is still far off, potentially. Might be tomorrow. It could be far off. Regardless of when that happens, God has given us a purpose now to bring peace to those who don't have peace. How do we bring that peace? When we tell the story of what Jesus has done in our life, we enlarge peace in others' lives. When we reach out to those who are without, kind of like with hopefully many of you will bring jackets and coats and blankets during the week, and then next Sunday fill up that blue bin out there. Because when we do something like that, we give to someone without, that peace is extended from the cross. When we reconcile with our brother or sister, peace is the result. When forgiveness is given, peace can flourish. This is the kind of peace that I want to be able to live in my life. Some of you still don't think God can do this, though. You're not convinced that God can come into a situation that's full of conflict, full of difficulty and discord. You don't think that he can do it, and you're wondering, God, do you see how tough it is where I am? God, do you see how difficult it is right now because I've got a spouse who's having an affair right now and I am just so frustrated and there's no peace in our home. God, can you come into this conflict? A long time ago, to a culture ruled by a brutal dictator in a far forgotten place, a little town called Bethlehem, God said, I can bring my peace. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Recognize him by the sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Peace on earth. Folks, this is our heritage. And I love it that at the beginning of Jesus' life, what's proclaimed? It's peace. And at the end of his life, what does he proclaim to his followers? He says, you will have my peace in your life. At the bookends of Jesus' life, it's all about peace, folks. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet here as we close out. And there are those of you today, you're in a situation where you are feeling that peace is so elusive in your life. And you're struggling so much to wonder, God, do you see what I am currently going through? God, do you understand the hurt and the heartache and the pain that's happening, the conflict that's happening in my very home? The conflict at work, the conflict at school, wherever it is. You say, Jesus, I am desperate for peace in my life. I am desperate for peace. I need peace in a situation in my life.
We pray that today's message is a blessing to you. For more information about Life Church, check us out at lifechurchutah.com.